All right, so we're here with Adam from the band Charity Sunbury, and we're asking him a few questions for the podcast. Take it away, Rye Guy.
Okay, first question. How would you describe your band's sound?
Oh, man, that's always a tough question. I mean, you know, we don't really like placing labels on our music. We like it to flow free and then let our fans interpret it for themselves. In a way, I would say it's kind of a mix between contemporary and, like, elitist classical with, like, elements of acid house, dubstep, and kittencore. Although, most of the guys in the band are very influenced by the likes of alt country, new wave, bluegrass, and mid-70s trip-hop.
Okay.
From Buffalo, New York, enough with the shark girl already. It's the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Hi, welcome to the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, backwards,
and cocaine up to here. Wait, what?
Of being a local musician in Western New York. I'm your host, Ryan Gurnett.
And I'm Nate. Ryan, has the podcast learned how to pronounce my name yet?
No, we have not.
In this episode, Ryan and Will interview members of Exham Priory, Lazy Ass Destroyer, and local legends Green Jello.
We'll also have music from all three bands, and we're going to talk about the last couple weeks and the next two ahead in local concerts. But first...
Today, the podcast turns 21. We can drink legally!
Woo! I've been able to legally drink, Nate, since you were 7. I used a fake ID to buy beer when you were 4. So, let me tell you, newbie, with the ability to drink comes much greater possibilities for mistakes. And if my personal experience is anything like yours, you might find, whether band or woman, you're able to overlook some red flags, you know, if you're a little desperate. Well, I've got a story for you guys. So we got a brand new game to play. It's called Count the Red Flags. All right. So, Nate, Will, I want you guys to count the red flags. I show up to audition for the band. The first thing they tell me is, we're really desperate. We'll pretty much take anyone.
That's a red flag.
That is a red flag. So the audition goes great. They think I'm awesome. Second practice, we start dissecting the songs. We go through one in particular. We're doing rhythms. We're doing all sorts of stuff. Third practice, this is right after the singer broke up with his girlfriend.
Second red flag.
Mm-hmm. So third practice after the girlfriend is broken up with, we're imbibing in some of the things one might do before making rock and roll. And then cocaine makes an appearance.
Right.
That's a white flag.
Yeah, that's the point where you should fucking give up.
That's where you surrender.
So I'm like, guys, I'm not cool with this. Like you can smoke all the reefer you want, but like I'm not cool with cocaine.
And so
like,
did it just show up?
Yeah.
Or did everyone suddenly take it out of their pockets and you were like, oh?
I was literally standing out on the deck and the drummer just came and then I turned around and went back to the counter and there were just two lines on the table, and I'm just sitting there. I'm like sugar. Like, are we having pancake? Like, anything. I'm like, ah, no. So, that was another red flag.
Yeah. That's three.
That's three. So, the next two practices are canceled.
That's four.
So then, one night, band practice ends up being canceled, but we all end up hanging out. And we start talking about band names. And the one guy says, I've got a name for you. It's In the Ether. And I'm like, okay, it's a decent band name. But it's Taken. As soon as you hear that name, you know it's Taken.
It's just generic. It's a bit generic.
So I pull it up on Facebook, and there's three other In the Ethers. I pull up Spotify, there's five other In the Ethers. So I'm like, dude, they're everywhere. And he's like, well, I went to the copyright page, and no one's claimed the copyright. And I'm like, well, how about this? how about taking someone's band name is a dick move, and I don't want to be involved with that.
Right, that is number five.
We talked about this for 30 minutes, and I still couldn't change their minds. Then, later, we start talking about rhythms and music, and we're listening to some music, and it's some old stuff I made, and there was a certain rhythm in it, and I'm like, oh, see, that's kind of like what I wanted you to do on the part that we were working on in practice. And he goes, well, I'm not copying those parts. I'm like, it's a rhythm pattern. There's not, every rhythm pattern has been explored in some region. Like, I'm giving you an example of what I think something should sound like. That's not copying it per se. So then he's like, well, I didn't really like the part you wrote, even though we all agreed to it in practice. And I'm like, well, what's your problem with it? And he goes, it's stupid.
Right, that's eight.
And then I start explaining to him that, and it's something that kind of even Nate touched about in the last episode when he talked about Fernway, is all the little touches and the little rhythms and all the little like accents and everything that a drummer can throw in to be interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to explain this to him, and I'm trying to explain to him that people will like us better if we do these things, and that it's the opposite of lazy songwriting. You know, we're really putting the time into it. And he still will only tell me that it's stupid. And then he says, oh, well, I'm not changing the way we write our music so people will like us. And I'm like, don't you want people to see us when we play shows? And he's like, I don't care if we play for everyone or no one.
Right. That's nine.
Nine.
So at this point, the band should be called Red Flag.
Yeah, yeah. And then and then we got two more things. Earlier that evening, I spoke to my singer, and I told him that I saw his ex-girlfriend at the Descendant show. And he says, oh, I was hanging out with her that night. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly I didn't see her then. I just think that's that. I get a text from her 15 minutes later telling me that I'm a liar and a troublemaker and that I should never contact her again. And in addition to this, the only reason she had my phone number was because I was trying to get her band shows.
So that is 10 and 11 right there.
And then finally, I'm hanging out with the drummer. He's like drank like 3/4 of a bottle of vodka.
That's 12.
So this is when we're talking about how drum parts are stupid, and I'm like, dude, you're sleeping on my couch. You're not leaving. So I have to argue with him for like an hour to get him to not drive drunk, and then he finally agrees to it. I wanted to go to bed at 11. It's like 12:30 by now, and I come downstairs. And I'm like, dude, I'm crashing. What are you doing? He's like, well, I just got a booty call, so I think I'm gonna go do that. So what red flag is that then?
I'm on 13.
13 red flags. And I pulled the plug.
Nate, do you agree? Is that 13, or did you count even more?
I'm going to trust you, Will. I lost count somewhere in the somewhere between the cocaine and the booty call.
So, yeah. Starting a band.
Yeah.
Red flag is no more.
So, yeah, like, and I even, I sent the singer something. I'm like, man, just, like, get your shit together. You're a good dude. I like
right.
I even told him I'd
It used to be about the music.
And then, but the
not about the cocaine and the booty calls.
The drummer insisted on like arguing with me over and over and again via text about why I shouldn't quit and why it's stupid. So holy cow! So that leaves me with zero bands for the first time in like 8 years. And after that experience, I am so cool with it. Like that is perfectly fine. I am okay taking a break.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say about that, guys.
Don't start a band.
Hey, this is Lazy Ass Destroyer. Why the hell are you listening to the Struggle Is Real podcast at all? WNYY.com.
All right, we're back on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music podcast on all WNY. Will, I think you got to meet the Flaming Lips, and I think you need to tell people about it.
I did. A friend of mine and me went down to Cleveland, Ohio for a meet and greet with the Flaming Lips. We obviously paid. Now I have to pay to meet my heroes instead of just paying the regular admission fee and hoping for the best. We got a chance to go into the venue early. We got to watch the Flaming Lips soundcheck.
Which venue was it?
It was the Agora Theater in Cleveland, which I'd never been to, but it was kind of down in the inner city part of it. Very, very nice theater. Reminded me a lot of the Rapids Theater in Niagara Falls, about that size and just a little bit more narrow, I would say. But we got to go in and check out their sound check early. And it's weird because, you know, Wayne actually, the lead singer of the Flamingos, actually stands in the crowd with you and listens to the songs playing. He's not on stage very much at all. And they kind of just go through a few songs, just little parts of them. And then after that, they all met us in the kind of the merch room, which is on the other end of the bar. And the lead singer, Wayne, and the drummer, Steven, and the bass player, Michael, all took photos with us, signed whatever we wanted to do. They spent almost an hour, hour and a half or so with the crowd just making sure everybody got talked to and handshooked and got the pictures they wanted to, as many as you wanted to, have them sign things. They're very, very gracious as a band, and it was a very exciting day for my friend and I to go to.
That's awesome.
And the show was great later on. You know, you still got in, and they did their regular Crazy Flaming Lips show with confetti and balloons and lasers and giant inflatable robots and a unicorn that he rode through the crowd.
I wish every band could be the Flaming Lips. Those guys know how to, like, have fun and just throw a party. And even, I feel like even at this point in the game, it just seems like they're still so enthusiastic about what they do.
Yeah, very much so.
So one thing that we haven't talked about that I'm curious to, because I've never been able to do it. So you think, like, the meet and greet packages, they're worth it for you?
It depends.
Those are expensive.
It depends on the kind of fan you are. Last year we did one for Ben Folds, and it was that one was a little different, where you actually sat in a room with Ben for about a half hour, and you got to ask him whatever you wanted to about music for that time. We did a we did the signature, I'm sorry, the autograph and the photo, and then we went into his sound check, and he was basically just throw out whatever songs you guys want to hear and I'll play them. And that was his sound check. So you stand by the stage and you just say, play this, play that, and he was just, great, here we go. He'd play about two verses and a chorus or so of that song just to kind of get the levels right, because it was just a solo show with him. But stuff like that for a fan like me, is great. I mean, I wish I could do it with some of the bands that I've never gotten a chance to meet, you know.
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. So I definitely recommend it.
Nate, have you ever done any of those meet and greet packages?
Not myself. I went along as a guest with my girlfriend. We did the package for Lights, who's a Canadian...
Yeah.
Pop singer.
Was that the town ballroom show?
No.
Last March?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was actually, so it was kind of a unique event. It was at, oh man, I think it was at the Statler.
Okay.
It was the Pink Party. It was a breast cancer benefit that she was just like the musical act for.
All right.
So she did like a stripped down acoustic set, but before that there was a meet and greet. So we were like, yeah, we've never done anything like that, but because all the proceeds were going to, I think it was a Roswell event, and maybe not, but either way, because the funds were going to a good cause, and this is like my girlfriend's favorite singer, and we're like, yeah, we'll do it. It was only like 30 extra bucks than the normal ticket.
Oh, that's not bad at all then.
No, but because of that, it was packed, and it wasn't like Will's experience of a meet and greet. It was really just like, they had a step and repeat banner and a line of like 50 people, and you just got a picture, and you know, you could say, you know, I love you, and the next person came on. So it was cool, and it wasn't really like the experience that you're talking about, though.
Did you get close to Lights?
No, I was taking the picture.
I bet she smells really nice, that's all. I know, I actually reviewed her a concert of hers in March. She was I hated the opening acts, but she was phenomenal.
Yeah, we were there. We've seen her together probably 7 or 8 times.
What did you think of Chase Atlantic at that show?
I don't remember Chase Atlantic at that
yes!
show.
Thank you.
There was a DJ and a band, right?
The DJ was first, and then
the
Chase
DJ
Atlantic
was
the band.
Okay,
and they were second.
I remember my girlfriend. She's very, very opinionated and very picky. I thought they were kind of fun. She despised them.
Thank you.
They were kind of like a boy band looking, right? Like very.
See, I needed someone else who was at the show to corroborate it.
Yeah.
I posted a negative review about that show, and like 800 Chase Atlantic fans came after me. I'll show you. I still get stuff. And this is from last March. I still every so often get like stuff about
that. I wouldn't like go out of my way to listen to them, but I thought they were just like mediocre. They didn't elicit negative feelings from me.
So real quick though, I mean, if we can go around here and say what we think, but so what would your guys' dream meet and greet be?
Like, who would it be with, are you saying?
Yeah, I'd love it if Radiohead did something like that.
I can go first.
Okay.
Ben Folds, I would absolutely love. I actually tried the last time Henry Rollins was in town to actually get the podcast to interview him, but at least according to his management, he doesn't like doing interviews the day that he's going to speak, which is such a bummer because he really does influence a lot of what this show is.
Mm-hmm.
And John Sampson from the Weaker Thens, who you know the Weaker Thens, right? Do you know
Weaker
Thens' name?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I have a special like love for them. I think he's like the best songwriter of like the last 30 years. Like I'm okay saying that. That's how much I love their music. So I would love to have a chance to like talk to him for a couple minutes. Have you figured out yours, Nate?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. A lot of the bands that I really like are like small enough that you can just kind of talk to them afterwards. Because I would like my instinct would be the Mountain Goats, but like basically every show is a meet and greet because he makes a point to sit at the merch table after and talk to anyone who wants to talk to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I went to go see them last year and I should have stayed.
It's not every time.
Not every time.
I waited. Yeah, it's really a few.
Maybe it was 2 years ago. It was at Bayville.
Okay. Yeah, I was there, but I didn't stay. It's my impression that like 75% of shows, but like he's a human being if he just doesn't feel like interacting with people.
What was weird is like I went to go see Mates of State and they just packed up their own stuff at the end and you could just like talk to them. We were like, hey, you guys are awesome. And they're like, thanks, we're packing up our stuff.
But,
I'm like, all right.
Yes.
Yeah. Was that the Trelf by any chance?
That was the Trelf, yeah.
Oh, dude, there was no one at that show.
No one.
And that was,
no
I saw
one.
Mates of State in Toronto with like 500 people and then we saw them at the Trelf. There'd be 60 people there, right?
Maybe. Maybe.
And do you know Mates of State, Nate?
I don't.
Oh, well, we're going to have you listen to them. They're awesome.
But in terms of a more popular artist that would be hard to interact with, I would have to go with Carly Rae Jepsen.
Dave Grohl would be on my list.
Yeah.
Sure. Definitely. And I like Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
I'm
not joking, though.
Really?
I really like Carly Rae Jepsen.
I'm not actually familiar enough with her music to make fun of you about it, but I'm assuming I can, right?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the early records, but like Emotion.
Is she Call Me Maybe?
Post-Emotion, yeah.
Okay.
That was her biggest hit, but after that, she put out this record. It's the best pop record of my lifetime.
I'm going to listen to that. Now I'm curious. You're going to listen to some Mates of State. I'm going to listen to some Carly Rae Jepsen.
Yeah. Before that, it's hit or miss. She really stepped up the production, and there's a lot of like 80s influence that I have a soft spot for. But
awesome. All right, moving on. So the day after Will met the Flaming Lips, Will and I went to Mohawk Place, and we caught the circus with Green Jello, Wyatt Coyne, Lazy Ass Destroyer, Exum Priory, Buried Beneath Concrete, Three Green, and there was one more on the bill, but I can't think of who they were. Like it was a big bill, and it was just the most peculiar kind of crowd I've seen at a show in a while. Nate, I keep calling you Nate. Will, what were your thoughts from Mohawk Place that night?
Yeah, you're right about the circus for sure. You know, it's always fun to go to a metal show or that kind of a crowd in Buffalo. Anyway, I always really enjoy the people there. They're really into what they do. Obviously, they're just like any show. There's a lot of people outside smoking cigarettes, drunk as hell, whatever the case is, and that's kind of the fun of it as well. But they're a really nice, good group of people. They were very excited about the show. Everyone was just kind of there having fun. And I mean, the metal community or the hardcore community or whatever you want to call it in Buffalo has always been a real close knit thing. It's nice to go to a show and everyone there seems to know everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely no. Lazy Ass Destroyer is a big Infringement artist. He'll talk about it. He considers Buffalo like a second home. So a lot of my Infringement friends were there, and then a lot of people I knew from a lot of other bands. A lot of people, Dewey from Wyatt Coyne and Green Jello is actually one of the people who got us into Warped Tour. So it was a great time. It was just a big party. I mean, everyone. I don't think I remember a show seeing like everyone was so wasted. Like we even interviewed some other musicians and stuff, and like most of what came out was just completely unintelligible.
Pretty much.
I'm assuming Nate cut it out, but every interview we did for this night, someone like just walked up to us in the middle of the interview, and with this one you're going to hear for Exum Priory coming up next with Nick, someone walked up to us in the middle of the interview, was like, got a cigarette? And I'm like, we're kind of recording something here. And he did not give a fuck that we were recording or that anything was going on because he wanted that cigarette. And he just had this like look of just like vacancy. Like,
and for anyone wondering, he got that cigarette. So, crisis averted. Somebody did give him a cigarette. Because that's the kind of community it was down there.
Oh, absolutely. So first up, we're going to interview Nick Lucido from XM Priory and also from the Nick and Dan show on All WNY Radio. And then we're going to play their song, Suck. That's what we got coming up next here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com. So we are here with Nick Lucido from XM Priory.
What's up, dude?
How you doing, man?
Doing all right. A little sweaty right now, but I'm doing awesome.
Sure, you just kicked some ass here at Mohawk Place.
Thank you very much, dude.
Incredible bill of bands tonight.
Is there any
favorites of yours that played tonight? Like, any one that you're like, I know that...
Well, Wyatt Coyne's coming up, and I really like them, but I caught Three Green a little bit earlier, and they really remind me of kind of old school Misfits, and I dug that a lot. They were really fun. And then they did a cover of fucking, what's his name? Bob Marley, Redemption Song.
Oh, nice.
I'm sitting there, I hear like the butt end of the chorus, I'm walking, I'm like, second? That's Marley.
Sweet.
Punk Marley. Nice. Can't go wrong.
So I was shopping for new guitars.
Okay.
And they had a guitar that had the lime green neck and body combo. And I took one look at that and I said, there's no way I can play that guitar because it looks exactly like Nick. Do you have dibs on that now? Is that your thing?
I mean, I don't like to say that I have a thing. Other people are welcome to do it too. I just, dude, the one I got, it was $40 used at Guitar Center.
Nice.
It could have sounded like garbage, but it was totally worth it. And $40, it's neon, like, it's green.
Neon
green. And I had to jump on it, so.
The one I was looking at was about $130, so we're in the same. What brand is it?
Dean.
That was exactly what I was looking at. I just got a Dean Red Vendetta, actually,
okay, nice.
Instead.
Very nice.
Yeah, it seems like a good price guitar.
It is.
So, do you have a plug for the Nick and Dan show?
Oh, dude, the Nick and Dan show, we air Tuesdays on YouTube. It's like a 40 to 50 minute show on YouTube. Then we air the 2 hour version. It's a little more uncut, a little bit more fun on AllWNY Radio, obviously. That's Thursdays at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Cool.
So it's just irreverent talking, a lot of dick joke. I mean, I guess I'm loud. I'm loud. It's okay, though.
So, seven bands on tonight's bill. It's a big bill.
It is.
What do you think is the ideal bill size for Saturday night, Buffalo, New York?
An ideal bill size. I mean, I know a couple of bands that have, like, the joke, you know, hashtag three bands max, no more than four. So three or four bands, I think it's a solid billing. But, you know, that's how some things are done. Some people, they like to do a whole lot of bands on a bill.
Sure.
But me, I like three or four bands. Every band gets a good 45-minute set, hour-long set, and it's a good time. You know, people are coming out, they see a couple of different acts, but it's fun.
Cool. Where does the name XM Priory come from?
Oh, that's H.P. Lovecraft story, Rats in the Walls. I was a big fan. I got the rest of the band into it, and it's the building that's in the short story. So, yeah, completely random reference. Turns out that exact same time that we picked it, a hip-hop artist in California also picked it. We just happened to be into the punch on trademarking, so now just we're using it. But what's coincidence, or seriously, obscure reference, and two bands, two completely different genres, different sides of the country picking it at the exact same time.
That's crazy.
Right, like the dude and I, we actually had kind of a little laugh over that. It's kind of wild.
Were there any lawyers involved over that, or was it settled amicably?
It was amicably. You know, he was really cool about it. Like, when the trademark came through, I contacted him real nice. Like, listen, man, we got the trademark. You know, it's kind of our thing. We've been using it for a couple of years. And he was real cool about it. He was like, listen, man, I didn't mean to infringe on anybody. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. And actually, we ended up becoming friends out of it.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's kind of a random situation.
Sure. Have you guys been playing any out-of-town shows or just been sticking local?
We've done a lot of local shows. We've done Allegheny already. We're going there next week for Punks in the Yard 3. So we got that going on. Rochester's coming up. We just booked New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
And we're looking for a couple of other shows on the way back. But, so we're doing the outward spiral, you know? we've built a solid base here, which is awesome. Unexpected. I'm still not used to people.
Led by Joe Kent, clearly.
Yes, obviously.
Joe Kent is the leader of the Exum Priory Army.
That's right. But you know what, man? I mean, I'm still getting used to people singing along with our songs. That's really freaky to me. And we're on the radio in Germany, so...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, never really expected that.
So, what's the craziest thing you've seen in a Buffalo show so far?
I'm going to go tonight. I definitely just saw a gimp running up and down the aisle with a gimp mask and what I can only assume is a black jock strap, butt ass naked.
Right, that's got to win for tonight, for sure.
Yeah. Lazy Ass Destroyer for the win.
That's the win right there. I've seen a lot of weird shit, but that right there, man, that takes the cake.
Dun, 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 dun. Well, that's all we can use from that song. It is long rumored that back in July of 2018, a team of four went to Warped Tour, representing all WNY.com. The day was never recorded, so we'll never know if it truly happened. But what we do know is that sacred scrolls do exist with games that may or may not have happened during Warped Tour. Today, we play those games.
You have too much fun writing these opens.
My only friends are sock puppets. So, the last time we played, we saw Nate take a narrow 5-4 victory over Will to take a commanding 1-0 lead. Today, I will test Will and Nate's knowledge of this year's Warped Tour bands. Nate, since you won last time, you get to pick. Do you want to play Warped Tour Band or Bond Villain? Or do you want to play Warped Tour Band or 80s action movie?
I am feeling Warped Tour Band or 80s action movie.
All right.
I've never been a Bond fan. I'm sorry.
All right. Cue the music. All right. Vans Warped Tour artist or 80s action movie? Knuckle Puck.
That's too easy. No, that's a Warped Tour Band. I am familiar with them. I don't like them, but I know they exist, and they're kind of a big deal.
Will, I think that you're at a disadvantage here because I feel like Nate's going to know more of these than you.
Oh, definitely. There's no way he's not going to know more.
Are you keeping score?
I'm keeping score, yeah. Okay. Dayseeker.
That's another band.
Correct. Roadhouse.
That's an 80s film.
Okay. That's kind of a gimme. Assuming We Survive.
Definitely a Warped Tour Band.
Correct.
Yeah.
Maximum Overdrive.
That's an 80s movie.
Yes, right? It is.
Yeah, that's
starring Roddy Piper, if I'm correct. Nate, he's putting some pressure on you. I mean, Will, he's putting some pressure. God damn it, why am I getting your names wrong tonight?
We'll swap them.
Will, he's putting some pressure on you. He's got all five right so far. Best of the Best.
No, that's a band. I can't imagine a movie called that.
Incorrect. That is an 80s action movie.
Really?
I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Best of the Best.
But
is it
is.
Some sort of competition or pageant, I'm sure.
This Wild Life.
That sounds like a lame Warped Tour Band.
You are correct. They Live.
Same. Warped Tour Band.
That is incorrect. That is a movie.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Don Brocco.
That's got to be an 80s film.
No, that is actually one of the artists. Was Don Brocco.
Man, I'm falling apart in the second half.
Yeah. All right, last one. Cliffhanger.
Both. It's a trick question.
That is incorrect.
Okay, then can I give a real guess?
Yes.
It's an 80s film.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Sylvester Stallone. One of his finest, I'm assuming. I've never seen it. All right. So that is 7 points for Nate. Will, this is going to be tough.
That's tough. What was my game?
You are playing Warped Tour Band or Bond Villain.
Oh.
It took a lot of work to like make sure that there weren't answers that crossed into both territories. Yeah. There definitely could be.
So these are official bands that played at this year's Warped Tour, or just Warped Tour in general?
This year's Warped Tour.
Okay.
Dr. No.
Dr. No is a Bond villain.
That's correct. Broadside.
That is a Warped Tour band.
Correct. Kublai Khan.
That is a Warped Tour band.
Correct. 3 for 3. All right, Broken Claw. One word.
Bond villain.
Correct. Elliot Carver.
Band.
That is a Bond villain. So you get first half. You got first four or five.
Not bad.
You got to get three here out of the last five to tie Nate.
Is Elliot from one of the newer ones?
I literally have no idea.
Okay.
I've seen like two Bond movies in my life.
Right, so me too.
This was more of a research project.
I thought they all had cool names, not just like a normal person.
Right, that's what threw me. I was like, that doesn't sound like
Bondy
villain, Dick Tracy villain kind of thing.
Elliot. Babushka.
That is a Bond villain.
That is correct.
What? Come on.
Sharptooth.
Sharptooth is a Bond villain.
No, that is a Warped Tour Band.
That's tough.
All right, Frank Turner.
Frank Turner is a Warped Tour band.
All right, Frank Sanchez.
That is a Bond villain.
That is correct. All right, if you get this one right, Will, you win. Kronstein.
Bond villain.
That is correct. All right.
Woo.
Wow. Will wins 8-7. Well done.
That's amazing.
That was pretty hard, right? Like,
yeah, I've only seen like two James Bond movies, and they're probably the ones that no one else saw.
Hi, this is Dee Dee from The Public and Brass Pro and the Waterfront Revivalists, and you're listening to the Struggle Is Real podcast on allwny.com.
We're going to get back to our interviews from Saturday, August 18th at Mohawk Place. Next up, we have Lazy Ass Destroyer, and then we'll play Such a Sin from their album Reblazed. Will? What did you think of Lazy Ass Destroyer?
My lazy ass was destroyed. I enjoyed them, actually. Number one, we did finally get the answer to the question about, whether or not they were lazy. Yes, how many asses? And apparently they destroyed all the asses. You know, I remember standing outside with you and you're like, I think they're about to play. Let's go in and take a look. And I said, sure, that sounds like a great idea at this exact moment. And then we went inside. And then we started watching them, and their guitar player came in with no pants on, no clothes on, in fact.
No, he has a loincloth.
A Speedo would be
basically,
even a
yeah.
And a gimp mask, and it was great. It was fun to see that. And then I said, what the F am I doing here right now? This, I'm very tired, but this is what I'm struggling to keep my last bits of energy going for. But that being said, I loved the fact that Lazy S Destroyer had an old classic 1980s beatbox on stage. That was kind of their drum machine, and I thought they were good. The crowd seemed really into it.
Oh, absolutely. I actually, if you watch the Music as Art commercials that are running on, like, Channel 2 and Channel 4, I'm watching it, and there's just, like, just little pictures of bands, and I'm like, wait a second. No, no, no. And I rewind, and for, like, 3 seconds, there's a shot of Lazy D and the guy in the gimp mask. They actually have the gimp mask on this commercial that's running, like, on all, like, the broadcast stations, and I love that. We're gonna play some Lazy S Destroyer now in the interview. So,
yes.
Here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
On allwny.com.
All right. I'm Brian, and I'm here with the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast with Lazy D and Krusty from Lazy Ass Destroyer.
Hello, hello, hello.
How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm okay. I feel a lot better. I threw up, and I feel way better now.
Gives you more room to drink?
Well, I don't know what it was. It was a combination of the beer he gave me and I think some shitty chicken wings I ate. But I was trying to not throw up, but I did, and I feel a lot better now.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, I mentioned you to my staff about being your
staff.
I have a small staff, but I have a staff.
We have and staff infection.
They want to know how many asses have you destroyed?
How many asses have I destroyed?
How many asses have you destroyed?
Ooh, it just depends, because we are the actual destroyers of lazy asses.
Okay, we weren't sure if you were a lazy ass destroyer or a lazy ass destroyer.
We destroy lazy people.
Okay. I thought you were destroying asses.
Hey,
where's
my frosty lawyer?
Very lazy about
it.
Kind of lazy about
it. Right, now, we should put a comma in there somewhere.
All right.
And a subpoena. Just play it safe.
You guys, it seems like you think Buffalo's like your second home.
Why, I love Buffalo.
Why do you love Buffalo so much?
I don't know. Everybody here is pretty real, very entertaining. I've seen so much talent, like, especially with doing infringement for so long.
Sure.
Like, people just pop up shit on the corner, and I'm just like, what the fuck is this? And there's just like a one-man band or something like that.
Or an ice cream stand that's been there for years.
Yeah.
It just pops out of nowhere.
A lot of talent. Everybody's really nice.
Is there anyone you prefer to play with when you're in town? Any acts that you like the most around here?
I don't know. We've met so many. We always get stuck with really weird shit, which is enjoyable.
Sure.
I wouldn't say I have one particular favorite. I actually enjoy coming back every year, and there's different. Because we actually got put like on a rap show this time. And then Holly Farms was a big mix of all kinds of stuff. So it's always a surprise, like, what they're going to put us with.
Sure.
So I enjoy just checking out the different mixes of genres and stuff.
Sure. How would you describe your style?
I've been calling it electro party punk.
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, because when you say, like, rap rock or something, people are like, oh, you mean like Kid Rock? And I'm just like, yeah, just like Kid Rock.
I've described you as he's like Kid Rock, but you don't want to punch him in the face. That's actually been
unless
my...
you go to the pink, then they want to punch me in the face.
So, I've been confused for you at least 3 times.
Oh yeah,
we're both Ryan. We're both short. We both have glasses.
Yeah, I used
we
to both, have a pretty thick beard like
both,
that too.
We both wear hats all the time. Mm-hmm. What is it about us that attracts the women?
We're fucking awesome. You know, that's when you destroy that ass lazily.
All right.
You know.
You're not left-handed, are you?
I am not.
We might have been twins then. So we are on a bill with 7 bands tonight.
Yeah, it's a big one.
What do you think is the ideal size for a bill? If you were putting something together with your band, what is your, like, how many do you think is the right size?
I would say usually about 4.
4?
5 tops. Just right. Depends. I mean, when a band's starting at 6:30, I mean, that kind of sucks for the band. But, you know, it happens.
Give me a weird tour story.
Reed, do you want to take this? Since you're just sitting there tuning guitar? A weird.
I was hoping to speak in just band names, so, you know, Samhain, Descendants, you know, The Fall.
We've never played with either of those bands. Dude, they want a weird tour story.
God. What about that time you passed out half naked on Kurt's porch?
Which time?
That's a Buffalo. That's a Buffalo story.
Yeah, yeah, you got to book a Buffalo one. I'm into that.
Well, that was the story, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, fine. He passed out on Kurt's porch, and he had
in
a little bit
banana,
of...
In his banana hammock.
Yeah, the thong was, like, sticking up out of his pants, and somebody must have went to Kurt's porch that morning and snapped a picture of it. So they took that picture that morning and then turned it into a flyer for the show that night.
I almost got kicked so out of Facebook for a week showing a photograph of his balls.
Oh, what else talk about?
Well, one of my favorites was we were playing up here in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, and when I went to see
we played a giant show.
It was a big show,
lots of bands. Yeah. You know, we were, Head PE, I think, was the ultimate opener, which we love those guys.
The headliner.
Yeah, the headliner. The Pinkies headliner.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and one of the kids' bands, like fucking 19-year-old kids, were like, oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Come back to the hotel room. I'm like, you motherfuckers rented a hotel room?
Right,
that's
the
luxury shit. So, long story short, no, I'm not gonna do that. Fucking, I'm gonna do the long story.
Yeah,
the
long story.
So we go back to the hotel room and we keep drinking. We're already kind of drunk.
Yeah, I think we probably had been on tour about 2 weeks at that point too. So it was just like, oh, you know.
Well, another place to drink. So we got drunk and I end up. So it looks like they were updating the room.
Yeah.
And they had an entertainment center kind of thing, an entertainment shelf. For the new TV to sit, but they had not yet taken away the old
school one with the, you know, you put the big box TV it's got the big thing.
Yeah. And the VCR underneath.
Right.
So I reached the time where it's time to...
Night time.
It's time to go to bed. So I go to the entertainment center, of course, instead of the two beds in the fucking... and just entirely pass out on top of the entertainment center.
Yeah.
And then later, what, a half hour later or something like that, Lazy gets tired and goes to sleep in the VCR slot of the entertainment center.
I was in the TV slot.
The little tiny...
I was in the TV. So I'm inside the entertainment center. He's on top. A few hours go by, and I guess their parents had decided...
Party's over.
So they come in, they're like, we're all leaving. And I'm like, okay, well, we're just going to go stay here and go to sleep. They're like, no, get the fuck out of our room.
You guys don't know how to party.
Threw us out. What time was that, at least? Was it a good late ending?
It had to be about 6 by then, right?
No.
It was super early.
Okay.
No, it was like, between we got there and when we got kicked the straight fuck out, it was like 2.5-3 hours.
So what, was 4 o'clock in the morning at 3
o'clock? Yeah, it was, oh, it, yeah, but we got
you
there
don't kick
two.
Someone, you don't kick someone out at 4 in the morning. That's just... Yeah. That's bad. That's bad touring etiquette.
Yeah, yeah. That's why a lot of people get mad at me because I'll pass out with my shoes on all the time, and that's a big faux pas, you know, that you get tagged. Oh, pass out your shoes on. I'm like, you know how many times you've had to get the fuck up and get the fuck out of somewhere? Yeah, I keep my shoes on.
You know how many times I hear someone crawling up like, and I hear the Sharpie cap coming, and I grab the hand 7 inches away from my face, and I squeeze and I squeeze until someone gets the point and they leave. We're like, fucking tiger trap, baby.
There will be no dicks on this face.
I'm enough of a dick, you don't need to fucking make it apparent to everyone else.
What is this shit? It's such a sin.
Six shits going around, it's going around, 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 around. Six shits going down, six shits. you're blowing out stitches. Sick shit's going around, you better be listening. Make a splash in the kitchen, yo, it's something you're licking. My shit be dripping, so you know I'll be sipping. I rip my zombies and my dead fucks out the ground. And if you take a listen, you will hear scary sounds. Bob down the street with a bag of beats. My starving mind wants some, something to eat.
And finally, we have our interview with Green Jello's River. I am a super professional guy, so I didn't actually get his last name. But he's 13 years old, and he's been playing with Green Jello for the last year regionally. So, like, shows from, like, Buffalo to Ohio. Will, anything interesting strike you about this interview?
Not about the interview in general, but I did make it a point to text my brother and a lot of my friends and stuff and say, hey, guess where I am? I said I'm at the Green Jello concert, and every single text came back the same. Is that the Three Little Pigs band?
Oh, of course.
And I said yes, and they said that was awesome when we were younger. And I said, yeah, true story.
The one thing that strikes me about I listened back to the interview is he's just so nonchalant about it. Like, it's like he's a 13. Like, if I was 13 and I was in Green Jello, like, I'd just be like running around yelling like fuck. Like, I'd be super. But he's like, yeah, no, I play shows with him. I've been doing it. Weirdest things when the guy, like, he was just like, it seemed so normal to him. And that right. just struck me as being something that was really interesting.
Very, very nice kid. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Great kid. So we're going to listen to that. And then we're going to play Green Jello's most recent single, Frito Feet. Here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
On allwny.com.
I'm Ryan with the Struggle is Real Podcast, and we are here with River from Green Jelly.
Oh.
Thanks for coming on.
No problem.
So, you are a 13-year-old guitar player for Green Jello.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with the band?
Well, I showed up to Music is Art one year, and I was like 9. So, it was an insane event. I showed up. It was a small show there. I didn't know they were lip-syncing and all that. And it wasn't really huge, but I went and met them anyways. And I came here to the Mohawk place. Mm-hmm. I was going to come here for Super Killer Robots. And when we bought the tickets, all the members were there, and they ended up remembering me. So that's how I got on stage, and I got to play here 1 year ago today.
That's awesome. So you're touring with them then, right?
Yeah.
Basically. So what's tour like being 13?
Well, it's awesome. I wouldn't consider it like an actual tour. I kind of just say around the local areas from here to Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's fun to do.
So what did your parents think when you told them you were going to be playing with Green Jelly?
Well, my dad thought it was awesome because he grew up with them, and my mom didn't. She thought it was awesome too, but you know, she was less enthusiastic. But my dad was the one who's taking. My dad is the one who takes me to all these shows.
Give it up for dad.
Yeah, dad's awesome.
So what's the weirdest thing you've seen playing with these guys yet? It's probably some pretty crazy stuff.
I mean, the first, I can have a list of lists. Like, the first weirdest thing was Bill taking off his pants. First time I ever saw Bill take off his pants, which was insane. I did not see that coming. Another one was people throwing up inside of masks.
On their masks on stage?
Yeah, the masks, the puppet heads.
Yeah.
People throwing up inside of them. Another thing.
Does that happen a lot?
I mean, I've only seen it twice.
Okay.
So it usually happens in the same ones. It's usually the drunk people who pick out, like, the Bill Mann speaker head.
Okay, stay away from that head, then.
Stay away from the head that looks okay. like a singer. I always tell people that, just avoid that one.
Sweet. So how long have you been playing guitar?
Well, I started off by playing bass when I was, like,
nice.
4.
Good job.
And then I learned how to play Kashmir by ear.
Nice.
And from there, I kind of just, my parents switched me over to guitar, and from there, I just kind of progressed. And I don't really, I mainly play by ear. I've never learned to read music.
So. Okay, so you don't know any music theory or anything like that?
No, I just play.
So, you just gonna keep going with them? Like, do you think you'll be the future of Green Jelly in the future, maybe, when these guys all start getting, I mean, they are already old, they start getting older?
Yeah.
All right, thanks, man. Yeah, thanks for talking with us, man. I appreciate it.
You are not drunk or high on some sort of medical marijuana. This will not be funny in any sort of way. In fact,
It's just gonna be stupid.
There's aliens down on the floor. The street of Fiji comes for more. Chaos fills the air tonight. That freight of fright, Diablo, pounding down my door. To feet or four, we got ourselves in this fix. The Frito Mix Strollers with no shame. Frito-Lay, the Santa Claus and Mother Goose. Kool-Aid Man, the juice is loose. Bunny Quick, there's Belly Bean. Or Mary Quick, set out for sea. Not satisfied, all in the silk. Great vitamins, chocolate milk. Aliens down on the floor, the street of Fiji comes for more. Must the kazoo that takes her down to Frito Town? The horns that crank that sound make Frito frown. Frito feeds no more. The Frito whore. Santa Claus and Mother Goose. Kool-Aid Man, all juice is loose. Bunny Quick, there's Belly Bean. Or Mary could set off for sea. Satisfied, all the silk. Great vitamins, drinks chocolate milk. Aliens down on the floor. The street of Fiji comes for more.
And we're back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on All WNY. Nate, I believe you have a show coming up.
Yes, yes, I'm very excited to be opening for Carrie Faye.
Oh, she's great.
At Pineapple Company, which is a really awesome little art gallery. It is the art gallery's second birthday party, so they're doing like special events all week long. And we'll be playing on Tuesday, September 4th.
Now, is this Darth Nader or is this the Darth Nader band?
No, it's a small venue, so it's going to be an acoustic thing. I'm taking a step back.
Sure. I kind of, Carrie's solo as well, so that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, but Carrie's awesome. She does, I don't know, it's singer-songwriter, but with a bit of like a radical feminist edge, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
No, yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that.
Maybe not radical, but not like...
It's hard to say what's,
like
it's
violent,
hard to say what's radical.
It has
anymore.
A violent connotations, but yeah, no. I mean, it's really good stuff. She has a record out. I think it's called Apocalypse Baby.
Okay.
You can find it online, but I think like what her biggest hit is Creepy Man, which I think you're familiar with.
Yes, I do. I've seen her play Creepy Man both times. Yeah. I've seen her. It's a kind of a cover of Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's just about...
I was wondering about playing it, because I'd like to play it on the podcast, but I actually don't know if like she has that copyright or like if it's close enough or if it's parody. Like...
Well, I think it's parody.
All right.
Right? I mean, but either way. That'll be a really fun show. It's a great art gallery, and I'm excited to support them for their second birthday.
All right. Now, you said that's on the 4th?
Yes.
At what time?
September 4th. That'd be at 7 p.m. And I'll also be, so it'll be me, I'm opening, and then Nicholas Blase will also be performing, and then Carrie Faye will be headlining. You could look it up on Facebook. The event is called Tune Down, T-O-O-N, nice. With Carrie Faye.
All right. What's the cover?
It's free.
Awesome. So go out and support it. A bunch of good local artists and a cool venue that I haven't heard about. So I might come check it out, Nate. Think
yeah.
About that. I might support you.
Awesome.
Like
yeah, you can write a scathing review.
So yeah, and then on September 12th, Bit Brigade's coming back to town. All three of us will be there. I've talked about them in previous episodes. They crushed it at the Evening Star a few months back. They are a hard progressive rock band that covers retro video game, seemingly mostly Nintendo music. And they have a speedrunner who they project the image on the back of the screen, and he actually sits in front of the drummer and plays. And the last time I saw them, they played selections from The Legend of Zelda with the speedrunner playing. And, like, as the speedrunner would, like, beat a boss or collect a Triforce, they would actually, like, change the music and play the collect Triforce music. It was really cool. This time, they're going to be playing music and speedrunning Mega Man 2. I love Zelda music, but, like, Mega Man 2, that might be the best video game soundtrack ever. If you just even just listen between the different levels, like, the selections of music, it's really, really good music. And I think it's always interesting seeing any band try and perform music that was really – it was created on a synthesizer, basically. Like, it wasn't created to be played with, like, an instrument with strings. So I love seeing that. And that's going to be cool. And Mega Man 2 is the best game in the Mega Man series. I'll fight anyone, any of you over that. Nate's looking at me like you might want to fight. Do you disagree at all?
He's a Mega Man 3 fan, probably.
No, I'm totally ignorant. I've never played a Mega Man.
Justice for Mega Man, more like. So also performing is Danimal Cannon. He is just a local guitar whiz. He's a chiptune musician. He just wails on guitar, and he performs along with a pair of Game Boys that he has turned into synthesizers. So that's real cool. We're definitely going to be interviewing him. Hopefully we'll be interviewing Bit Brigade. And then also on the bill is the progressive instrumental metal band, Protopilot, and the Finality Complex, which is a classically inspired symphonic prog rock project. And that features brother of friend of the podcast, Paul Burt. So yeah, we'll be there. If you guys happen to be there, come say hi. There isn't anything around that you can see on the regular, like Bit Brigade. So if you're into old video games and old video game music, just go. It's going to be a super fun time. I can't even, for me, like listening to the Zelda music and watching the speedrunner play this game that was like, I remember playing that game when I was like six. So to me, that was just a perfect moment for me. Like you don't get those, you know, sometimes you go to a concert and you get those moments that give you a little bit of goosebumps. Like, that's kind of how I felt at that. And they are fucking awesome musicians. So yeah, so there's that. And then on September 17th, Punk Rock Veterans Face to Face are going to be playing The Rec Room, which is a new venue opened by the guy behind The Waiting Room, whose name is Chris Ring, who won't respond to any of my messages asking him to join us on the podcast and talk about his venue, because that would be a good promotion. Anyway, when I was 17, I got my first car, and it had a stereo in it that didn't work, so I had to, like, bump up the bass all the way. Otherwise, it just sounded fuzzy and terrible. And the only cassette I had was Face to Face's self-titled 1996 album on cassette. I remember buying it on clearance from, like, BMG Music Club. And yeah, for me, they represent a really important time in my life. They were a huge influence on me musically. And this is the first chance I've gotten to see him live, so I'm excited about the performance. And since it's acoustic performance, you know, I think it'll really highlight what's, you know, really strong songwriting for the genre. So I'm pretty excited about that. So in addition to those shows, I'm very happy to announce that All WNY and The Struggle Is Real is going to start putting on shows at Rude Boys Artwork. Or Artworks, I'm sorry, which is at 418 West Ferry in Buffalo, New York. It's a great small art space, and Nicola, who runs it, is really interested in putting on diverse shows and doing really interesting things. So I'm going to be working with her. We're going to be putting on some shows. We'll be talking about them on here. The two we have right now coming up is one is on October 12th, and that is going to be a dance party featuring a band called The Values from New York City and a local DJ, DJ Soyotos, who's a ton of fun. So we're still gonna have to add a couple bands on there. I want to get a hip-hop group, maybe another dancey band, so we're going to have fun there with a dance party. And then the other show we're doing is on November 17th, and that is Painters and Pop Songs. We're going to have friends of the podcast, Pocket Vinyl, are coming from out of town. And if you don't know their thing, Eric plays guitar and plays piano and sings like Ben Folds, and Elizabeth paints. And it's a really interesting audio and visual experience. So what we're doing is we are going to take three local performers, one of them being Nate, and we are pairing them with local painters who are going to live paint during the event while they play. And then those three paintings are going to be donated to Infringement Festival, and we're going to either auction or raffle them off at our Festivus fundraiser on December 29th. So we've got, like I said, Pocket Vinyl. Nate, you're going to be, you're playing with a painter named Lisa Nudo,
mm-hmm.
who she did the background of the local stage at Warped Tour.
Ah,
very so
cool.
It was. I'll see if I can find you some pictures of that. I think she's going to fit really great with you. We have Shannon Vanderland, who we played in the last episode. I'm pairing her with a painter named Melissa Campbell. And then we have Dave Michaels. He's a local rock musician, and he donates everything he makes to children with disabilities. And I can certainly get behind that. And he is going to be performing with a painter named Cassius Green. And, yeah, and that's going to be November 17th. Both of those events are going to be $7. They take place on Saturdays, and it's always 5 to 9 at Rude Boys Artwork, so it's kind of a more of a matinee early kind of show. So you can go see that and then maybe even get out to something else if you want. And that is all we have for episode number 21. Join us on September 15th, where we'll be talking with Cameron His last name's going in the garbage bin with yours.
Okay.
From Of Night and Light, and Ian Archibald from Cardboard Homestead. We're going to talk about crazy tour stories.
And check out All WNY and its family of podcasts, including Corey Comments, The Nick and Dan Show, The Think So Joe Podcast,
hosted by Karina DeFabio and Hooter Jigaloos,
in our favorite podcast, The Big Picture with Michael Sargent, where you can learn how to properly frame a photo and also how the government is secretly watching us.
You can find us at facebook.com/thestruggleisrealpodcast and on Twitter at SIRpodcastNY.
You can also find me on Twitter and Facebook at Sir William Idle.
Remember, kids, strugs not drugs.
All right, so that's all for Mr. Will Webb. For Mr. Nate Nowartia, I'm Ryan Gurnett. Being a musician is chaos. Please be kind. See you next time.